Hello and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. I'm pretty sure that at one time or another, we've all heard the saying, God provides. What amazes me are the many unusual ways that God does provide. Oscar discovers this fact as he meets a new friend today in the story, Roscoe Crowe. The moral of today's parable comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your clothes, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? It isn't in Oscar's nature to complain. But if he did, he'd tell you that lately, his greatest burden has become boredom. Confined to a wheelchair, cooped up in his 10 by 12 foot room, there's only so much diversion a person can take. Watching the same TV programs day after day would be enough to tax the sanity of even the strongest will. After a few weeks, even the internet loses its appeal. On the rare occasions when he does venture out of his room, he carries the vivid memories of his assault and abduction. Once outgoing and adventurous, Oscar was robbed of his sense of security. As a result, he only liked to go out accompanied by someone he trusts. Those events grew fewer and fewer until Oscar didn't go out at all. The boredom that followed led him into discontent and then into depression. Oscar ceased being his effervescent self and became lonely, irritable, and dark. It isn't in Oscar's nature to complain, so no one else knew what he was going through. One afternoon, as Oscar sat in his room, staring at the wall, he heard a loud thud at his window. He peeled back the curtains to discover a pale blue eye staring back at him. It was the eye of an adolescent crow that had crash-landed on his window ledge. The two stared at each other, neither one knowing what to do. There was a brightness in its eye, a flash of wonder and intelligence. Mutual curiosity bound them together. Oscar slowly opened his window, expecting the crow to fly away. It didn't. It hopped back and forth along the ledge, looking unsure of itself. Assuming it was injured, Oscar looked for something to feed it. He found an old bag of cheesies. He held one out to the crow. Cautiously, the young bird reached out and gently sampled the snack. Then again. The third time, he snatched the cheesy from Oscar's hand and flew away. Oscar watched the bird soar across the street. He shrugged. The encounter was, if nothing else, a break from the monotony. The next morning, Oscar was greeted with a tap at the window. The young crow returned for more food. The same thing occurred the next morning, then the next. Soon it became a routine. It gave Oscar a reason for getting up in the morning. One morning, much to Oscar's surprise, the crow flew into the window and explored his room. It hopped along the dresser, onto the bed, and then onto his desk. There it discovered a shiny quarter. It picked it up in its beak, flew over to Oscar's wheelchair, and dropped it on his lap. The crow flew around Oscar's head, then came to rest on the back of his chair. There it picked at his hair, and it warbled and cooed. Oscar reached back and gently scratched its head. Hide-and-seek with a quarter became their favorite game. Oscar would hide it somewhere in the room, and Roscoe would seek it. Oscar decided on the name Roscoe Crowe. It was proof that he was becoming more than just a wild animal. He was even becoming more than a pet. One day, Oscar went outside to meet Roscoe. They played fetch the quarter together in the warmth of the morning. It was the first time Oscar had been outside in 3 weeks. The very next morning, Roscoe arrived on the windowsill with something in its beak. It was a loony. Roscoe dropped it in Oscar's hand and flew off. 10 minutes later, Roscoe returned with a toonie. All day long, it flew back and forth, depositing change in Oscar's lap. 3 days of back and forth totaled $36.55. Oscar had no idea where the money came from. He wasn't sure he wanted to find out. The fourth day brought a visit from the police. An officer wore a bike helmet and spandex shorts with HPD down the side. His presence at Oscar's door brought stares from the other residents.
"I always knew this day would come," said Oscar's neighbor.
"Is this crow your pet?" the officer asked Oscar.
"Yes, well, kind of," said Oscar.
"Is there a problem?"
His palms were sweating.
"This crow has been seen taking money from the fountain at Gore Park. Do you know anything about this?"
"No," said Oscar nervously.
"He started bringing me change all of a sudden. I didn't know it was stolen," said Oscar.
He wondered if Roscoe would visit him in jail.
The officer smirked. "Technically, we can't arrest a bird with theft. As long as you're sure you didn't train the bird to collect change."
"No, no, I had no idea. Are people mad?" asked Oscar.
"I don't think people even noticed. I happened to see him jump in the fountain and followed him on my bike. I was more curious than anything," said the officer. As the officer left, Oscar's neighbor stopped him.
"Aren't they going to take you away?"
With the threat of imminent arrest removed, Oscar examined his pile of money. Roscoe landed at the windowsill with another quarter in his mouth. Oscar scratched his head. He knew what he had to do. He met Roscoe at the entrance of his building. Roscoe perched on the back of his chair, and together they made a trek down to Morton's Coffee Pub. Knowing Roscoe was with him made Oscar feel more at ease. When they reached the restaurant, they saw Manitoulin Bob sitting outside. The arrival of Manitoulin Bob was one of the surest signs that winter was close. For as long as anyone could remember, Bob would hitchhike to Manitoulin Island every spring to work on a fishing boat. When autumn approached, Bob would hitchhike back down south and winter in Hamilton. No one knows much about Bob. He's a jovial, boisterous man who loves to laugh and spin the most fantastic stories of ships, lost loves, and the many places he's seen. Bob also reads incessantly. He has a passion for novels. If he wasn't at Morton's Coffee Pub, Manitoulin Bob spent his time at the library. Other than that, Bob was an enigma. No one knew where he lived. Oscar suspected he was homeless, but Bob never panhandled. On nice days, he'd sit outside Morton's with a coffee and read. That's exactly what Manitoulin Bob was doing when Oscar and Roscoe arrived at Morton's. Oscar loved listening to Bob's stories.
"Oscar, you old sea dog," said Manitoulin Bob.
Bob looked at the crow sitting on the back of Oscar's chair.
"Are you trying to be a pirate?"
"Just trying to be like you, Bob," said Oscar.
"You need a coffee? I'm buying. I want to hear what you did this summer."
Bob laughed. "I can't turn down free coffee. It's the best kind." The door hadn't closed behind them before Rembrandt came charging up. Rembrandt was always quick to spot a violation of the rules. He pointed menacingly at Roscoe.
"You can't bring a bird in here," he said.
"No pets." Before anyone could react, Roscoe gave a loud caw and launched from Oscar's chair. Roscoe pecked Rembrandt square in the forehead. Rembrandt stumbled backwards into the counter. Roscoe swooped back and landed on Oscar's chair.
"I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry," repeated Oscar.
"That's what you get for messing with Black Chair the Pirate," said Manitoulin Bob.
Blood trickled down Rembrandt's forehead and onto his nose.
"No," he said, "I'm the one that's sorry. I should have known better than to mess with a pirate."
It would take 3 stitches to close the wound. From then on, everyone left Roscoe and Oscar alone. If it was ever brought up, Roscoe was called his seeing eye crow. Oscar, Roscoe, and Manitoulin Bob met together often that winter. Roscoe continued to visit Oscar daily, usually bringing more loose change. Oscar, in return, was generous, buying coffee and soups for Manitoulin Bob. Bob regaled them all with fantastic stories that made the whole restaurant laugh. The winter that year was especially cold, but none of them seemed to notice. All they felt was the warmth of each other's friendship.
Thank you for joining me today as we shared the story called Roscoe Crowe. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact me through the website www.therembrandtparables.com. I would love to hear from you. In the meantime, good day and God bless.